This podcast comes to you from the Pixel Labs podcast studio. As the world of marketing evolves, so must brands when faced with new challenges. We help brands grow by identifying opportunities to have real results. Welcome to the Raising Brand Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Raising Brand Podcast. My name is Aaron, one of your hosts, and I'm here with our other host, Noah, who is our production expert, video production expert, all the above.
All the above.
Thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And anytime. And I wanted to talk to you today about overproduction. Mm-hmm. You know, video content's a big deal right now.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people are getting into it. And so I thought it'd be good to have a conversation about what is the difference between overproduction and just taking something to the next level. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if you can just share some kind of high-level thoughts to get the conversation going, but...
Absolutely. So I think the biggest thing with like the whole thing of like what's considered, because especially now, I guess I should also preface this too, like with how available like video production is type of stuff, like whether it's your editing software, camera gear, like your setup or whatever, like all the above, like I've had friends get comments on their videos saying that like if it wasn't for like your crazy editing, this video would be bad. Like, essentially saying, like, your content sucks, but, like, you know how to edit well, so people are liking your content. So essentially saying, like, this is just overproduced nonsense for something that's not very good. Like, is what it basically, it was what that comment or those comments come down to for my buddy. That I feel bad that he gets these because he does try. But he'd get these comments of, like, yeah, you're overproducing for very little. And I think that does spark a conversation to have within this sphere because a lot of people... If they see someone with a lot of fancy gear, if they see someone with a lot of fancy edits, they're more willing to trust them almost as opposed to someone that just throws up a camera and just starts talking to it like the app is maybe like intended, like whether it's like Reels, Shorts, or TikTok or whatever. Usually the people get a lot of traction, yeah, with the really overproduced stuff. But it's one of those things of like there's a difference of overproducing and just having like a next level kind of movement. It's like if you just start doing video production and or like not even video production, say you're doing a YouTube vlog and you drop like $10,000 on a camera, that's overproducing. Like for your first video to be dropping that kind of cash, like that's like almost like a cinema level camera that you'd shoot a movie on. Like you don't need to be vlogging, you don't need to be doing like your first video on that kind of thing, mainly because you don't even know if you're going to continue doing it. You might drop all that money and then you realize you don't really like it or you get this weird inflated ego. I think everyone should start from a very like modest beginning to some degree. So like if you are doing a vlog for the first time, maybe what you do invest in is like a Sony like A6500 type of camera. It's a very small, basic level camera that shoots 4K. So you can still get some good quality out of it, but it's very easy to manipulate and it's rather... affordable based on like the current like market of camera gear and stuff like that. I mean, also just your phone, like your smartphone is also a great way to start. And then from there you can upgrade to the A6500 camera or something like that. But it's pretty much just figuring out what is actually working for you and ultimately what's getting your content out into the world, because overproducing usually means you're spending a lot of time on something. So if you're spending a month on one video, somebody that's just using their phone has already probably put out like four or more videos. Say you're doing a video once a week, you're using a super big fancy camera, super big fancy editing softwares, but then there's someone using their phone and maybe iMovie. Like, are those super respected methods? Depends on who you ask. Most of the time people are going to kind of be like, what, you're using that? But they're going to put out more content initially, and then over time, their content's just going to need to improve. So it's not going to need to be overproduced, but it's going to need to be upgraded to reach new audiences and to better reflect who they are and the type of content they're currently making, if that kind of makes any sense.
No, totally. Totally. So I hear a few things from you. So one, no, I think that's all. I think that's all a lot of really good stuff to take away. And so I just want to feed some of it back to you because I think it's really important. So one is... the content is by far the most important thing, you know? So if you're going to invest in anything, you know, I almost wonder like maybe it's worth investing And even if it's just friends or family, but just somebody to be kind of that, I'm going to be kind of your honest feedback loop.
Oh, 100%.
Where, you know, honestly, I'm going to watch something, and if something mm-hmm. isn't good, like, I'm going to give that to you. Or if there's a coach, you know, I know of how agencies support folks with content marketing. I don't know if there's people that are kind of like brand coaches or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's always people that, yeah, like on social media accounts are always trying to plug themselves of like, oh, I do this on the side or whatever. It's like,
oh, okay. Sure, sure.
But like, ultimately, yeah, like if you find like somebody, like a friend, a family member, a significant other that is honest and will watch your content and tell you like what's up with it, then obviously do that. Because again, mm-hmm. it's better to have someone you know tell you before you release it as opposed to all your comments being like, wow, this could be a lot better, and here's why. It's like, oh.
You don't want to go and viral for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then the other thing that I heard you say is like, so there is probably a minimum threshold to the quality of your content,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean that you have to go to like the best quality that's available on the market today.
No,
like,
yeah.
Obviously, you know, I think about not even that long ago where 720p, you know, was like the highest resolution.
Right.
You know, and that was just what was normal. And mm-hmm. so back then, like, you know, just you probably could get away with a camera. There weren't probably really smartphones at that time.
Probably not really,
but,
yeah.
But anymore, you know, and now they go all the way up. Does YouTube support 8K yet?
I don't think so. So actually, 4K? I'm not sure if anything true. Okay, so I guess, yeah, like YouTube, I guess that's also a thing to think about too, as far as like what's being overproduced. Like you brought up 8K, which is like, obviously more than 4K.
It's better than Vision. Like, let's be honest.
It's wild, but nothing has 8K capability.
Sure, okay.
And, like, it'll either get most of the time, so like if a platform says they support 4K or 8K, whatever, that just means you can upload that video and the platform will ingest it. That does not mean your viewers are gonna be watching at 4K, at 8K.
Right.
Most likely, depending on their device, because then it's device specific now, especially with how the internet works.
Internet speed too. I mean,
exactly.
That's also something to consider.
Exactly. So you might have just spent like, yeah, $10,000 to $20,000 on like, or probably more, honestly, for 8K stuff. I have no idea the exact price point. I'm just throwing numbers out there. I'm not a financial expert.
This is not financial advice.
This is not financial advice. But it's one of those things of, yeah, like you might spend all the money in the world on 8K. Oh, I want to start off strong, make my content highest quality possible. No one is going to notice, because most likely, especially if they watch, if you're making YouTube content that gets watched on the phone, it's going to be not even 4K. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 1080p.
Right.
Like,
right.
So that's already degrading it from 8K like twice or more.
Right. Well, and I just think like, especially if you're starting out, you know, to get to 1080, a couple $100, right? Like, I think about like a GoPro.
Yeah, everything has 1080 built in now. That's kind of like the new, like you mentioned, like 720, 1080 is now kind of the new, like you can still do 720, but most of everything can handle 1080.
And it's I like, think any more 1080 is bare minimum.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm about to say? Most people, because then once you can start getting in the 720, it starts really getting compressed. Like,
right.
Especially due to like smartphones being able to like get really good quality, and like computers being able to get really good quality,
mm-hmm.
like almost probably 4K, but it's always still technically compressed.
Well, and I think I'm going back to, if somebody's going to buy something, say they literally have a flip phone, you know, nothing, hopefully a computer or something, you know, you need to have access to the internet.
I hope, yeah, you have something.
If you're going to be making content, but like even webcams, you can get a 4K one for $100.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that that's probably when you're talking about bare minimum kind of requirements.
Right, yeah.
And I think anymore for me personally, just how I behave on YouTube, I will watch videos, but sometimes I just listen to audio. What do you think about like video versus audio? Where would you put more of an emphasis on making sure that it's done well? Does that make sense?
Oh, I would 100% put more emphasis onto the audio. Like,
would
I would spend more, this is, I guess, my personal opinion, but I've seen a lot of other videos and done a lot of research type of thing of, like, what is actually beneficial. And everyone usually says to invest in the audio quality, because that's more so, it's gonna make your videos better. It will legitimately make your videos better, because say you're doing a video outside and you have just like a little, like one of those like little microphones that sit on top of the camera,
mm-hmm.
that's going to capture you in front of it, but it's also going to capture other things that are in front of the camera that you don't have control over, as opposed to if you, like, that's why news reporters use, like, the handheld microphones. If they just had them, if they had that microphone but far away, you'd hear everything. Like, if they're in the woods, you'd hear bugs. If you're near, like, a road, you'd hear cars passing. And you still do to some degree, but you hear them come through more than the cars passing by, than, like, the crowds behind them, just because they're talking directly into a microphone. So if you can get a nice, good quality microphone that can get close to your face for videos, whether it be on, like, a desk like what we have, where it's like an arm comes out and you're talking to the camera with this, or it's like a lavalier microphone or just a microphone on a stand on your table, that's definitely what most people recommend investing in, because that will just elevate the audio quality. Because unfortunately, most devices, such as a smartphone, they spend a lot more time on the camera because people use it more for photos. They don't need a good microphone in it, just on the sheer fact of the average person wants a good quality camera on their phone because they want to take photos, not because they want to shoot video. So it can be used, and now they have adapters and things you can plug in.
Well, like, and I've seen, and I'm trying to remember, I bought one at one point and it couldn't have been more than $30.
No, but I say they're all,
and I was impressed for $30. Like,
yeah.
For $30.
Oh, 100%.
Obviously, if you compare it to a legit microphone, it's like, yeah, that $30 microphone.
There's even a significant quality difference. So, like, you remember, like, back in the day, like, the earbuds that, like, were, they were the, they had the cable and they had that little, like, piece on it that acted as a microphone, like, your volume settings.
Oh, yeah.
Even that, just having that right here, as opposed to, like, your camera audio, like your camera microphone, the built-in one being so far away from you, is a significant improvement. And so, yeah, that's where I don't classify audio as being overproduced, because I definitely would call that more of a necessity. Now, again, if it's something of, like, you can buy, like, a cheap microphone that if you're in a controlled environment and you can get really close to it, like, almost any microphone you use is going to sound better, because you're speaking into something very clearly. The issue is more so being overproduced of if you went out and, again, like, you bought the highest end, like, audio. Like, when we did these podcasts, we didn't start with these. Like, we started with a Yeti mic that was in the middle of a table. It had, like, essentially a mic on one end and a mic on the other end. And you'd sit in between it and we'd have a conversation like what we are. But it's different audio quality than what these are. These are super nice. These are meant for podcasting. So if we started right off the bat, if we said, hey, we want to produce a podcast, let's just buy the best quality stuff right off the bat to test with, like, that's wild, in my opinion. That's overproducing, and it's most likely going to hinder your actual product because you don't know how to properly use it. We used a more affordable option. I think Zach got it, or what we used to use for podcasting, is Zach got it with a game. Like, it came with, like, a Fallout game or something. It was part of, like, a deal where he got the game and it comes with this mic or something. I don't quite remember. It was something, though, where it was, he at one point set out to find one. Something happened to it. I think we got a dud or, like, it broke or something. And we got a new one or something, and it just worked out. But that's what was kind of interesting about that, is that we needed that piece that was, it cost money, but not as much as these, to kind of realize that, hey, if we do want to take this more seriously, we need to upgrade to these type of thing. Just because, yeah, starting right off the bat, again, the biggest thing too is, like, you don't want to spend a bunch of money and then you realize you don't like what you're doing. Like, say podcasting wasn't for us. Cool. We just, like, now have this nice little microphone that can be used for other things. Or, like, oh, it's cheap. As opposed to, we'd now have three super high quality podcasting microphones.
Yeah, I think we have four. I think there's one back there.
Oh, four high quality podcasting microphones with, like, a whole board and, like, a whole, like, a bunch of XLR cables and arms. The arms are cheap, but, like, still, like, the sound paneling and stuff like that. Like, we didn't have all this stuff when we first started doing podcasts. Like, even these chairs, we did it in, like, an office, like, in our little conference room. So, like, I think ultimately it just comes down to understanding where you're at and then giving yourself room to grow. Because then too, you gotta think of it like this too, of, like, if you start at the top, where do you go? Like, not that that's a bad thing, I guess, but it just makes it means your floor is going to be a lot higher, and most likely it's going to be even a bigger hit too if your content doesn't do well right away, because nothing ever does well right away.
Right. Well, and I think that that's important. Just going back to what you said earlier, like, it has to start with the content. Like, like, do the work to make sure that it's something that people can consume. Mm-hmm. But the emphasis is way more on the content, you know. Yeah, I just think that that's totally true. And then, you know, if you need to pivot, you can. And,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I like that's interesting though. The audio being more important than video. I just think that's very interesting.
100%. They do go hand in hand to some degree. Like, you don't want to be shooting on like the first iPhone for your video quality and then using like one of these microphones for your audio quality. Like, because then it's gonna just like just feel off to viewers and be like, why is this?
I want to look up so and see. So I don't even know what the first iPhone video quality was.
I have no idea.
It's probably like 1080.
Probably. I was about to say, it probably wasn't that bad, but just by now standards, it's probably not great. But because audio is definitely, I think, what gets people to stick around, especially if there's audio that has, like, if you have a really, really cheap microphone, for example, or something, and you just hear like a buzzing or like a hissing sound, or like you're using just your phone audio or just your built-in camera audio, and you hear a lot of the room tone, then that's just going to distract people. Mm. Ultimately, you're just trying to eliminate distractions so they can listen to what you're saying and actually ingest what you're saying.
Right, right. Now, the first iPhone, so in my quick search, I didn't skip the, well, the first iPhone that would have had the video capability. I didn't find that in the 2 seconds I looked, but the resolution of the screen was 480 by 320.
Yep. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, so just kind of interesting.
That's going to be probably one of the lowest you could possibly go. And I think devices would still support that now, but I don't know. But yeah, ultimately, just there's a difference between overproducing something and then just upgrading based on like your needs, because again too, like going back to like what my friend got comments on, his content was good, but that person clearly had gotten burned by other creators that had lackluster content but high quality videos, to where they felt robbed. They were like, what you're talking about isn't like, you look like you have $1,000 like $1 million setup, and you're just giving me the bare bones of like whatever topic this is. Like, no, that's dumb. Like, people don't like that because it feels like they've been cheated. Because if you're spending all this money on your equipment, you should be spending more time on your content, because that is obviously, yeah, always the most important part, and the part that you can't overproduce. You can't overproduce your words, but you can overproduce how your words sound and how your video and how you look.
Wow, that was some knowledge. Oh my goodness. No, that totally makes sense. And I think it's also an encouragement to folks that it, like, in the world that we live in, it doesn't have to be perfect and polished.
Oh, and that's the worst. I get so many people that, like, they want to start YouTube channels. They want to do this. They want to do that. But they see these big accounts that are on, like, the recommended pages, and they got all the fan, like, their background is blurred out.
Right,
and they
got room, the fancy light. You know?
They, literally, some people have a whole studio. Like, they're not even in their house, but they build it to look like a room in their house.
Right.
And people get so discouraged because they're like, I don't have that. I just have a guest bedroom. I just have my, like, loft or whatever. And it's like, where do you think those people started?
Well, right. Totally. And I think the thing that always helped me was, like, oh, you want to be like them? Like, well, they're already them. You know, like, they already have that. 100%.
100%. There's already someone. Yeah.
Right. And so, like, you haven't contributed your piece, your environment, like, your thoughts yet. And so you don't even know.
Exactly. Because, even if you don't, the overproduced stuff, or, like, the stuff that's really, really high quality, say you spend, like, millions of dollars on gear and, like, spaces and stuff, that appeals to the masses. There's still, though, the people that are, like, in between, like, the people who you like want to have that personal engagement with someone. And if you have a low quality setup type of thing, you're honestly a lot more personable because you feel like a real person. You don't feel like you're trying to be a movie star or like you're trying to be your own TV show. It feels like you're just someone that went out, bought some stuff to up their quality a little bit, to make a video, and then people feel like they can actually talk to you. Mm-hmm. And especially if you start talking back and stuff like that. But yeah, there's a huge difference between, like, overproducing your content and then, just upgrading your content and stuff like that. Totally. Said 1,000 times.
No, I think that was super good stuff. I think there's a lot of important things to take away. Content is just most important. Oh, yeah, making connections always. With your content is most mm-hmm. important. Between audio and video, especially in the world that we're in and how you can repurpose content, mm-hmm. audio definitely has audio, a focus. But
it's a little bit higher up there.
But really, you don't need to spend a lot of money. Like, we're talking less than $100 bucks.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no.
And so go paint your neighbor's fence and you have enough to start.
Oh, yeah. They sell, like, microphones, like, that are decent quality at, like, Walmart for, like, $30.
Yeah. So, no, that's awesome. So thank you so much for your time today Absolutely. Talking about this. This was really cool. And I do think about just the journey that we've kind of had with podcasting.
Right? I know. As soon as I was explaining it, I was realizing I know, like, we started from nothing.
It sends you back. So awesome. Well, hey, thank you so, so much for joining us for the Raisin Brand podcast. If you'd like to hop in and have more conversations with us or other creative professionals or people that are just interested in creativity, we do have a community over at raisinbrand.co. That's our website. It's free to join. There's a bunch of conversations about marketing, video production, graphic design, the future of marketing. And in there, we also have a virtual event space that we can meet and just talk through some of those topics. But hey, thank you again for joining us. Hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Raising Brand podcast. Remember to subscribe to stay up to date on all things Raising Brand.